A couple of weeks ago, we had the National Vineyard Conference, and as you know, a few of us went across to Sydney for that. And it's great to hear from some of those that had attended last week, sharing about their experiences and how the Lord really impacted them. So the foundation of the vineyard movement was really the realization that, you know, in Christ we're all new creations, created to be like Jesus and empowered by the Holy Spirit to do the mission of Jesus here on earth, to do the things that he did, to get to do the stuff. And at the conference, we were reminded that we have been called into a kingdom quest. We've been made and fashioned for that quest, and we've been given the Holy Spirit to be empowered for the kingdom quest, for the adventure that God has called all of us into. So recognition of the Holy Spirit present with us is paramount. And you'll hear us say often in services, Vineyard services, come Holy Spirit. And that saying really started with the early church fathers. So it's not unique to the Vineyard. And we know we're not saying it to beg or convince the Holy Spirit to come and be with us, because he is here. He's in us and he's with us. But it's we're really saying it to really raise our own spiritual awareness and our sense of expectation and anticipation, and to agree with God's generous will and heart and purpose for us, that he wants to continually encounter us with his goodness in a myriad of ways that he wants to speak to our hearts. And so we say, come Holy Spirit. Yes, you want to come here, don't you? You want to touch me. John Wimber, the main founder that we recognise of the Vineyard movement, wasn't precious about preserving the Vineyard name. And I remember, and I've probably said it before, and you've heard it probably before, that he would say, you know, if the Holy Spirit is doing stuff in the Catholic Church down the road, that's where I'm going to be. So he was always about being on the cutting edge of what the Spirit's doing, because he recognised that that's who we have with us, Holy Spirit, to lead us and to guide us, and he wanted to be where that was. At the conference, we were introduced with something called SOCKM training, the School of Kingdom Ministry training. So that was really interesting to learn about, and it's something that we're wanting to unpack a bit more for everyone here to talk about that in coming weeks, about how we might get involved. But that's all about understanding and learning how we can operate as Holy Spirit-filled new creations, how to partner with the Holy Spirit. So today, you know, as I was praying, Lord, as a fellowship, what's important for us right now? And having a solid foundational understanding of who Holy Spirit is foundational. Because sometimes I got a sense from the Lord, the Holy Spirit is God with us, who we don't always recognise. Who he is, how he operates, how we're meant to connect, how we're meant to think about Holy Spirit. So, and I can relate. When I was born again, I'd been raised in an Anglican sort of church kind of based schools as a child, but that I don't know that I came away with anything that I really understood. And at 19 years of age, I was born again, and that was in a Baptist church, quite conservative, and no one talked about the Holy Spirit. So I've been on a journey of learning since then. Always, you know, got introduced to different things, as we all do, or there's something more, and growing in that. And, you know, I'm never going to stop learning. None of us will, and I won't, until I'm face to face with my Creator. So while we're on this side of heaven, while we're in this earthly life, you know, it's really important that we keep allowing the truth of who God is to renew our minds, as Romans 12:2 says, allowing our minds to be renewed so that we will be transformed So the truth that we want to keep receiving is the written Logos word of God, which is also can become like a rhema, living word and a quickening word to us as Holy Spirit says, yes, that bit right there, that's what I'm wanting you to hear today. And this is how I want to really release that into your life and make it a reality. So we all want to be growing more and more into the beautiful purposes of God, don't we? And understanding what that is for our life. So you might be a bit like me. You don't always quite know how to think about the Holy Spirit. And as a group of people here together, we come from a lot of different flavours of church tradition as well. So just like me, we're all growing in our understanding. I have a quote. David, what... I do have a quote. David Watson, in a book he wrote many years ago, One in the Spirit, he's quoting another theologian, Dr. Torrey, actually, and he says, if you think of him, the Holy Spirit, only as an influence, said Dr. Torrey, you will be anxious that you may have more of it. But if you think of him as a person, you will desire that he may have more of you. So certainly our attitude toward the Holy Spirit will affect the way we respond to him. You know, is he a force or is he a person? We talk about the power of the Spirit. How are we meant to really relate to him or to it? Confusion can also occur when we consider a bit more deeply about the words used for the Holy Spirit. So the Greek word for spirit is pneuma. And this is actually a neuter word. So it's gender neutral. It's neither he nor she. And we use those sorts of words when we refer to objects. But then there is another Greek word called paideion, which means a small child. But that word's actually grammatically neuter as well. Yet we are referring to a person. So a bit confusing. And there's also a lot of symbolism used when referring to the Holy Spirit, such as dove, wind, fire, oil and water, which in our own minds tends to depersonalise him. Yet, when we consider Jesus, he too was often referred to as varying objects. For example, the vine, the lamb and the light. Therefore, just because we may seem to depersonalise the Holy Spirit by the way we describe his presence with us or his effect upon us, this doesn't mean he is any less of a person as Jesus. So good to think. So when Jesus spoke about the Holy Spirit, actually, he never referred to it as an it, but always spoke of the Spirit as he. In John, he said, he will bring glory to me. He will bring glory to me. The word he in Greek actually is ikonos, which actually is a masculine word. So it's actually a he, a person. So let's think more about how we can relate to him. Firstly, Holy Spirit is equally God. So we see right back in the beginning, Holy Spirit's in Genesis, the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters, Genesis 1:2. And the first chapter, if we flip over to the Gospel of John, talks about Jesus, that he was there as the Word. The Word, Jesus was with God and is God. So when God created us then, back in the Genesis record, we were made in the image of a plural God, which is a bit of a tricky word to use, but we know as a triune God, Father, Son and Holy Spirit. Genesis 1:26, God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. So Holy Spirit was part of that in terms of our creation. So Holy Spirit is part of the triune Godhead, Father, Son and Holy Spirit. All are equally God. Then they are so perfectly united that we refer to them as one. in Deuteronomy 6:4, the Shema, the Israelite favourite saying, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." So our God is one because of the perfect unity that they share. Father, Son and Holy Spirit, they share the same heart, passion and desire for us and for this world. Beautiful. And theologians through the centuries have often described their unity as like the divine dance, which you might have heard about. And in this dance is this beautiful constant exchange of love between them, of life, of freedom with each other. A constant giving and receiving. Beautiful, beautiful image. And it's out of this beautiful dance of love and freedom that they created us, and they created this world, and they created us so that we too may join in this beautiful dance with them of love, of life, of freedom, of joy. Of course, there came the fall, but now through faith in Jesus, we now get access to join in this beautiful divine life, this divine dance. So all of God is directed to this goal, Father, Son and Holy Spirit, to bring the world back home and back into the beautiful life of God, because that's what we've all been made for, whether we know it or not, which is beautiful. Throughout the Bible, the Holy Spirit, it's made pretty clear that the Holy Spirit is God, is also God. And it's revealed by the attributes given to him in Scripture, attributes given to him that are attributed to God throughout Scripture. So Hebrews 9:14 says he's eternal. The eternal spirit describes him. So there was never a time that he was not. He is called holy, Holy Spirit. And God says, back in Leviticus 11:44, "Be holy as I am holy." He is omnipresent, which means he's everywhere. Where in Psalm 139:7 it says, the psalmist says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence?" The spirit's everywhere, just as God is. He's also omniscient. That means he knows everything. Paul talks about that in 1 Corinthians 2. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. And in Paul's second letter to the church at Corinth, he points out the Holy Spirit is God quite clearly when he says, "And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." So the Spirit is the Lord. The Spirit is also God, part of the triune God who is at work within us, bringing us into through that beautiful process of transformation, of really realising who we are and being in that fullness. Holy Spirit is a person. So the tricky part for us is we attribute personality or of a person with a body, so that's why we might in our brains have a few hiccups now and again. So it's good to sort that out. So the Holy Spirit is a person because he has a mind and possesses thoughts. Romans 8:27 talks about the mind of the Spirit. We see that he has preference because in Acts 15, you know, Paul talks about it has seemed good to the Holy Spirit. It seems good to the Holy Spirit. So a force or a indescribable power can't think or know that something's good. His comprehension that the Spirit searches out all things, searches out, searching for meaning, searches all things. It also, Scripture reveals how the Spirit speaks to us. Very clearly in the book of Acts, the Spirit told Philip, "Go to the chariot and stay near it." He can speak, be very clear in the way he speaks to us. And this led to the immediate conversion of the eunuch into new life in Jesus. You see, he wants to, as with the triune God, wants to see everyone brought into the beautiful dance of God, the life of God. As the early church began its growth and outreach, the Holy Spirit gave clear instruction to the workers committed to serving the Lord. And it says in Acts 13, while they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Silas for the work to which I've called them. So the Holy Spirit gave very clear direction. It says that they were forbidden to do certain things by the Holy Spirit because the Spirit did not permit them. So at times when we are seeking God and we get a clear sense not to do something, sometimes we might think it's us. I think it's really important that we start to acknowledge more and more and realise it's Holy Spirit in us. As we have said yes to Jesus, Holy Spirit comes to live in us. Scripture makes that very clear. We are new creations. We are being transformed to live more and more in that new creation life. And so we need to start realising more and more that as we think and move, that is Holy Spirit doing it. And the more that we acknowledge that, the more we realise that, we become more aware and we are able to partner more distinctly and intentionally with what God's doing with a greater confidence. Oh, this is God working in my life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for showing that to me. Yes, I'm going to do that. And Jesus urges us that it's vital for us today to keep listening to the voice of the Spirit. Revelation 2:7. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. And Jesus said, you will hear my voice. You will hear the voice of the Spirit. We're made to hear the Spirit's voice. You are hearing his voice. The Holy Spirit acts. We see him doing things, amazing things. The Spirit of the Lord caught up Philip in Acts 8. The sons of God are led by the Spirit. We are led. The Spirit apportions gifts. He gives gifts to each individually as he wills. So the book of Acts is one continuous testimony to the activity of the Spirit. And there is a definite sovereignty about the Spirit's action. The wind blows where it wills. A lot of us are wearing these wild and free t-shirts. I've just got mine today. I'm pretty excited. So at the conference, there was this prophecy released about Australia and the church rising up into its fullness. And with the as we're empowered by the Spirit, we are people who are wild and free, you know, just like the Spirit, who we just never quite know where it's going to blow, but boy, we want to blow and go where God is leading us. The Spirit isn't a force or some sort of ethereal influence, but he is a person of power who has great influence in our lives. As we continue to submit to him and what he's doing. He has feelings. We read that the Spirit possesses love. Romans 15:30, I urge you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit. He displays passion in Galatians 4. The Spirit cries in our hearts, Abba, Father. So it's the Holy Spirit in us that is stirring up praise and worship for God. We can't worship without him, actually. You know, it's only by the Spirit that we can actually say that Jesus is Lord and know that he's done the change in us to do it. So thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are in our lives, stirring up passion for Jesus, passion for his mission here on earth. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for what you're doing. And amazingly, he can be affected by the actions of others. I mean, this is the amazing thing about God. God, who is all in all and everything and sovereign, yet he allows us to impact him. You know, it says we can grieve the Holy Spirit. We can insult the Spirit of grace, blaspheme against him. Ananias lied against him. It's amazing that he calls us into such a beautiful, intimate life with him, one with the Godhead, the divine life, and that we share in, and we're right there in the midst of it. And I think we don't realise it because it's so mind-blowing, every neuron starts to go kapang anyway, but we're right in there with it, and what we do affects the life of God because we're in the life of God. Doesn't that amaze you? It amazes me. You know, Jesus said, you know, the Holy blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven in Matthew 12:31, which are really harsh words. But what he's saying is that anyone who continually denies the work of the Holy Spirit also is denying God's sovereign hand at work in this world, because the Holy Spirit is God. And again, so if someone's doing that, then they're not really appropriating who they are and where they are actually residing in, you know, in the life of God. As we have said yes to Jesus, it's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. And we are brought into the life of Christ. And Christ is a part of the Godhead. We're brought into the triune life of God, into the beautiful dance of God, to share in all that fullness. So let us not deny that. Let us not speak against that, but enjoy that. Partner with that and allow that fullness to fill us. It also says Holy Spirit intercedes for us. The Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will, and he guides us into all truth, John 16. Acts 10:38 makes a very clear distinction too, that the Holy Spirit is a person, because he said that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. So Holy Spirit and power. So it's not one and the same, although the Holy Spirit is powerful. So we can see that through these attributes, that he's not some force, but he's definitely a person. The great thing to realise too is that Jesus highly recommends the Holy Spirit to us. Simon pointed this out last week. In John 16:7, Jesus said, "But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." So we need this counselor, the Holy Spirit. In a few verses later, Jesus said, "You know what? All that belongs to the Father is mine." You see that beautiful giving and sharing of everything that they have, the divine dance. And that's why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine, which is everything I have from the Father, and make it known to you. So the Holy Spirit is giving us all of God. Jesus has it all. The Spirit takes everything Jesus has and to make it known to us. He's giving us all of God. Those sorts of verses are verses that we really need to chew over and meditate on. Allow the Spirit to really let it sink deep into us, because we were made to be full of him, wild and free. Jesus said that when people saw him, they were seeing the Father. Remember, he said, you know, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. But Jesus also said that the Holy Spirit was just like him too. The next verse on in 14, oh no, not the next verse on, a couple of chapters earlier in John, 14 verse 16 said, and I'll ask the Father, again talking about the Spirit, and he'll give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. So he comes to be within us forever. And that word another means of the same kind. So just like me, as I've been here, of the same kind as me, I'm sending the Spirit. So that means as we read about Jesus moving and relating with love and compassion in the world, as we see through all the beautiful gospel stories, the Holy Spirit moves just the same. Jesus also said, when speaking of the Holy Spirit, in the next verse on from what's on the screen in verse 16, he says, in a little while you will see me no more, and then after a little while you will see me. The Holy Spirit looks just like me. Jesus is the flesh and sort of blood reference point that God gave us for us to recognise what God looks like, what God is like, I should say. So what God the Father and God the Holy Spirit are like, they're both seen in Jesus. We can always look to Jesus as our reference point. Jesus came full of grace and truth. So the Holy Spirit is fully stamped with the characteristics of Jesus. Just as Jesus experienced fellowship with his disciples and they with him, we can also experience fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And Ho just brought that out a little earlier. 2 Corinthians 13:14, Paul writes, may the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. So we can know intimacy and fellowship with the Holy Spirit, just as the disciples did with Jesus. So, the early church, you know, they were asked to wait, or the group of disciples were asked to wait by Jesus to be empowered and to be fueled by this counsel of the Holy Spirit that was coming. And in Acts 1:8, it's recalling the words of Jesus, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. For a purpose he comes, to fulfill and continue the mission of Jesus, to be his witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And so when the day of Pentecost came, they're all in one place. There was a great wind that blew. Looked like tongues of fire. That would be pretty spectacular, coming upon them, resting on them. And in Acts 2:4, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. But it wasn't a one-time event. A little further on, after they'd been going out, getting quite persecuted, getting a bit bashed up by those who didn't want to hear about Jesus and this wonderful new good news, the believers came back together and they were crying out to God, God, would you stretch out your hand in power? Would you come and show yourself to be true? So they were gathered having a prayer meeting. And further on in Acts 4, that's Acts 2. In Acts 4, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. So the Holy Spirit comes, and he comes to fill and to impact, and to impact for a purpose. So in Acts 2:4, they were all filled and they began to speak in other tongues. This time they were filled and they spoke the word of God boldly. So he'll do different things at different times for his purposes. And the Holy Spirit wants to fill us repeatedly. Paul talks about that, doesn't he? To be continually filled with the Spirit, to be full of God's life and His love and His power, so that you are more and more restored to be more like the you that God intended for you to be. To be like Jesus in this world. So He wants you to be more you, which is having every part of you in beautiful alignment with God's plans and purposes for you. And for that to overflow. But you would now know the heart of God, which is for the world. And He loves this world. That others would be also brought in to His life. So, wrapping up, you know, if I go back to the beginning, that quote that I put up there, we can see that the way we view the Holy Spirit will affect our response to Him. If we only see Him as a force, and sometimes we do know there is power there, we may desire to get more of it, like more power. But in this way, we only start to seek glorifying ourselves as we sort of revel in that experience. And, you know, we can see that, wow, we're doing these great exploits for God. And we get caught up in that. And it's wonderful to experience the joy of partnering with God, but it's not about us. It's not what we're doing. But if we, in the other way, actually submit to the person of the Holy Spirit, who is God, and rely on Him to work through us, we recognise that all the power and ability actually comes from above. As we're praying, as we're moving, as we live, as we have our being. And all of the glory goes to the triune God and not to us. So today, we want to say, come Holy Spirit. Come Holy Spirit, this beautiful person of the Godhead who is with us. Whom Jesus has sent to be with us forever, Jesus said, to be in us and with us forever. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're with us today. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you come to so fill us, Lord, and that you want to keep filling us, that we would be people who are wild and free. Lord, wild, untamed, uncultivated, unpredictable. Lord God, being willing to, as we sang earlier, to trust you beyond borders. Lord, because we have a holy God that is in us and changing us. Thank you, Lord. Come and have your way, Lord God, this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
I'd like to just posture your heart, and we're just going to ask the Holy Spirit to fill us afresh. And I guess it's important to understand there's nothing weird or frightening. You know, in Luke 11, Jesus said, if you ask the Father for something, and He will give you the Holy Spirit generously. He's not going to give you a scorpion or snake or anything nasty. But the Holy Spirit is gentle, but yet powerful, because it changes when it comes into our heart. It transforms us inside us. So that's why we want more of the Holy Spirit, so that we can, like in Acts 10:38, so that we can be anointed with the Holy Spirit and power. And that verse continued to say, so Jesus can go about healing and delivering, you know, doing the stuff that God has called us to. So we let's just wait on the Lord. So Father, we just ask more of your Spirit to come, Lord. Fill us afresh with your Spirit. We just open our hearts and say, more, Lord. More of your Spirit of grace. So we just wait. Refresh us, Lord. Refresh us. Jesus. That there will be a time of refreshment from the presence of the Lord.
I just kind of feel like how we posture ourselves physically can affect what happens inside. So why don't we actually all stand up? I feel like God has a little bit more. And close your eyes and let's do the vineyard thing and put our hands out and like we're expecting God to give us something. So come, come Holy Spirit, fill each and every one of us afresh. Fill us to overflowing. It would be like that spring of living water. Your presence is so full in us that it's bubbling out and revealing Christ to the world. Let your fruit be manifest in our hearts. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. Come and fill every part of our being, Jesus.
Hearing the lines of a song. turn your eyes upon Jesus and look full in his beautiful face. And I sense there's people today who, as they're waiting on God to reveal something to them, they're looking at the ground and not at him. And, but as Maria has said today, Jesus is everything we need to see in God and of God. And so is the Holy Spirit of Jesus. So lift your eyes and look fully at him, because he loves you and wants to give to you. And as you look at him, you can receive.
The Holy Spirit is within us and on us. So one of the things we like to do is, for those who want to pray for others, just freely move around. So just look at what the Spirit is doing. Just feel free to move around.
For some of you, you might be feeling a little bit of a tingling in your hands, or you feel his presence on his, in your hands or on you right now. So I just pray, Holy Spirit, more. Just increase, Lord. Just let, just receive. Just ask in your heart for just more, Lord. Holy Spirit, just come. Increase that presence. Increase that tingling.
Those who has been born here in Australia, who are in your 60s, 70s, you know, we come back, and part of the prophecy was Australians have the heavenly calling to be wild and free. So we pray for that spirit to be upon you, that you will not see that you are aging, but your strength is being renewed like an eagle, that you will run in your old age, that you will be still fresh and green. You will still be fresh and green. That's what the Spirit comes to do. To refire and to realign you again until the days of your earthly life is numbered and gone, that you will still be fruitful. Jesus, thank you, Jesus. I haven't met you all, but I just want to pray in the name of Jesus that God has brought you here, not so much in this church. You're free to go anywhere. board of these two things. Just got a word for this couple to release whatever burden of his son and his family, and our sister just responded. So I want us to pray into that for Rowena particularly, but I think it's just the whole family. Okay, but okay. So you just share with them again. All right, just continue praying. We're just going to release what we receive in Sydney, the wild and free spirit, that you're going to get double portion. So each of us will pray. Now,
keep receiving, but if you're listening, let's receive from the Spirit. Lord God, we want to thank you for all that you pour out upon us. And Lord, we receive you fully today, Lord, that we will receive a double portion of your presence and your power in our life, that we will be people of the kingdom on a kingdom quest, wild and free, Lord God. Others will look at us, won't always understand us, won't always get what direction we're going in and why. But Lord, we are to be people who are full of you and led in the fire of your passion and your love and your joy and your peace, Lord, as we move in this world. Thank you, Lord.
So I declare over you that you are who God made you to be. You look like Jesus. You're made in his image. You are filled with the Spirit. You are wild and free.
I just had permission to share a testimony. A few weeks ago, I was at a meeting and was prayed for. And I didn't really know what the prayer was for, except that the person who prayed for me said, it will happen 3:33, I don't know the exact time, he said 3:33, early in the morning. So I got my notebook and pen, put it by my bed, and day went by, night went by, we hung on a whole week. And the following week, I woke up early hours in the morning. I didn't even look at the clock, which was unusual. But I just had a beautiful aroma through my home. But I didn't know what it was. I just thought, that's a strange smell. And it was unusual to be so wide awake as well. So I got up and walked around the home. Didn't see anything wrong, so I don't usually get up and walk around my house in the morning. And so I was rather perplexed about it. Went back to bed, went to a meeting that same day, and the speaker was talking about the aroma of the Holy Spirit. And I thought, thank you, Lord. I almost missed it. And God's visited me in that way a few times since. So there's a yes, Lord, we just call upon you, Lord, to just come and just fill us with the sweetness of your love, Lord. Everyone. Bless each one. You are able to do far more than we would ask or think. But, Lord, you've told us that you are here in your presence. So we just thank you that you bring your sweetness amongst us. In Jesus' name.
And you probably know Jeremiah 33, verse 3.
Oh,
yes. 3:33. Yes. Call upon me, and I'll show you great and wonderful things that you do not know of. Now, I just want to quickly explain why wild and free is so important to us. So if you look at Simon and myself, you wouldn't say that we're kind of the wild and free kind of people. I am, but Simon is so. So we got this teacher 2-3 years ago, and God was speaking to us as a small fellowship that God wants to release us to be wild and free. And I've forgotten about it. So this American guy come all the way from US and tell us that we're meant to be wild and free. So there will be a double portion with the Vineyard Church. And this young guy, wore his T-shirt to the conference as a confirmation that God is speaking to us. So that's why we're excited. We kind of like, oh, this is already ours. We can walk in it. Is that right? Yeah. Anything more?
No, I just get encouraged how God speaks. You know, we pick things up. Like what the thing that Toe was talking about came out of Isaiah 40. You know, that's why I love that I found the T-shirt with an eagle on it. I think that was just the Lord. And God speaks, and we sometimes think, oh, is that really you, God? And it's just so beautiful when he comes and there's a confirmation. You know, Putty comes from America and says this word, and we're already believing that and doing it. So God's saying, yes, this is my word for you. Walk in it. Don't lose heart. Keep going.
I'm also a person who doesn't naturally, but I'm learning to be wild and free. But I love the confirmation thing, and I hope this is okay to share, Margie, but we had the prayer meeting on Friday, and, you know, Margie wasn't here last week to hear the word, and we were sharing about the psalm, I forget which one, with the hind's feet, you know, where you're being, and I was just joking around and saying, you know, that I really love that literally, because I was always very uncoordinated and... And I, you know, and tripping over and stuff like that. And then Margie was sharing how she's not very good on a bike. And I really relate to that, because I'm not good on a bike either. And that, and she's, well, but she can ride a motorbike. And and so when she gets on, and you have to, and she was telling us how to, she might have to share this, but to get on the motorbike, you have to, you know, put both feet on and then you just fly. And it just, when as she was sharing that, I really got that picture that's what, and I suddenly thought, wild and free. That's what it is. Like, here I am sort of wobbling and, you know, on this bike. But we get on, you know, God wants us to put us on this motorbike. And that's kind of terrifying to be wild and free and just shoot off. So, anyway.
So we love having fun in the Father's house. So, as we go, the grace of our Lord Jesus, the love, agape of our Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Let's have a kappa. If you can help out, we stack trees and then put it on the wall, the chairs.